Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke. You there?
Good morning, boy. We got a treat for you.
Yeah. What are we covering this morning?
I've been down the rabbit hole, so you don't have to. We're doing funk, which is phonk, which apparently it's funk. But you can pronounce it either funk or funk. And I'm speaking of rabbit holes, so looking into it, I knew there was also drift funk and wasn't sure the difference. And apparently there is a difference, but it's okay if I make mistakes, because apparently even on the Spotify, you know, main funk playlist, it's 90% of it's drift funk. So everyone's mixing it up, so it's all right if we do.
Okay, all right. And now, shall we just start with a track? Which one should we start with?
Okay, well, Kirsten? We'll start with the Taiyaku.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What the Funk? Okay. Great crack up, Kirsten. Here we go. Everyone clocking this? This is pretty funky.
Well, yeah, apparently this is funk house. So, I mean, you can hear the house beat, those of you who know those things. There's that particular sort of high-pitched sort of sample that I find really distinctive to funk. And so this is the drift part of it. Is this the part I recognize and you might recognize from these car drifting videos?
Is this tied in with a car? Is this like car drifting scene?
Well, I don't know if these people are actually doing it, but they use the videos. These are more of a beat making scene and making videos, and they use the drifting videos for their tracks.
Yes.
And so it's kind of called hip hop for your videos. And like, you can buy like these, you know, people are trying to sell online like packs of like samples and some of the technology to make it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, how did funk originate, and what are the key historical and I suppose cultural influences that shaped its development?
Oh my gosh. So, started off in sort of 90s hip hop, sort of Chopped and Screwed, which is sort of Memphis, sort of, you know, music that was about these harsh and these samples and trap, and it was very lo-fi. And then it became popular in TikTok and TikTok videos, and then drift funk is actually Russian. It's a Russian subgenre, and then now Brazilian funk is the big thing. So it's had this incredible, I guess because it is lo-fi bedroom producers, you know, obviously not all of them, but you know, it is still sort of producers uploading this amazing trajectory. Like this artist, I think they're Japanese, that they disdain the assembly line monotonous production method and produce funk house that combines funk with other styles.
But with the regional variations, are there any sort of like, I don't know, like subgenres within funk, or like how do the variations reflect local influences?
Well, absolutely. So there is drift funk, which was Russian, but I think it's sort of, I mean, it's mostly still Russian, and like the Brazilian funk. But what's funny is just, I don't know what translators people are using, but I have a feeling what I'm reading is translated, you know, English. And so that kind of makes your head, you know, go crazy too. Like, is that real English? Because I've read different articles. One says it have captivating beats. Mm. It has captivating influences, mesmerizing samples. It uses captivating hip hop. So I think there's some word for captivating that probably sounds better in whatever original language it was from. So it's had this trajectory from based on these 2010, you know, Memphis rap.
Mm. I've also noticed that the artists and song titles heavily use the word X, the letter X, you know?
Yeah, like for instance, you know, this next artist, Diane Daddy, I'm assuming, and apparently you just you know, replace it.
Oh,
the next one has
here we go. Oh, this has got the high pitch sample that you mentioned. Where's Dying Daddy from?
I think Vietnam, bro. I think I'm figuring this out. But this song has 49 million views.
All of them have got incredibly high streaming numbers. I'm not sure if that's because all the songs are like quite short in duration, but they've obviously had big cut through.
So people use them for their videos. That's what they make them for. Yeah, it has a million likes, 200,000 subscribers. So apparently this uses a sample of another one that's called Lost Umbrella.
Lost Umbrella?
Yeah.
That's a great name. Lost Umbrella.
And so this is sampling that one. So heaps of people underneath are like, oh my God, I found my umbrella. You know, this music makes me... People love it.
I feel like the drop's coming, Kirsten.
Ooh, Grundy.
This is actually a great track. Okay, what else have you got for us on this? Kirsten?
Oh my, on this track?
Yeah.
I think that's it, but I might have a little more on Drift itself, that it's supposed to be a little creepy, a little nostalgic, urban soundscapes. You can hear on this track with a Vocaloid, because the other sample song uses a Vocaloid, which is that sort of, you know, fake singer.
Yes. Just quickly, Kirsten, as you went into the funk genre, what were your feelings and what did you... Like, what was this discovery like for you?
Well, I knew about Drift Funk, and I thought I really liked the sound. And I, you know, what's weird is, okay, I'm not gonna say I thought it was more popular than it was, because it is really, really popular. I guess I thought it was more, there'd be more written about it, it'd be more of a genre itself, instead of this thing that's definitely out there, but there's no one sort of capturing it yet.
Yes,
you know, for me to read like Vice and Vulture or, you know, Pitchfork or whatever articles about it, still seems
still kind of underground, massive streaming numbers, but still a very subgenre-y, still kind of parked away somewhere else.
Yeah, and I don't know if your listeners watch a lot of TikTok or Reels. You know, there is these sorts of musics now that float around in that sphere, and it's not necessarily, you know, being circulating with sort of record labels and singles and radio. You know, it's just like a different dimension.
Like
this next one, Shadowborn. I took notes on this one whole thing about him, that he's worked with Joey Badass and Post Malone, and he's from Atlanta.
Okay.
And then the next thing I read, it says he's 28-year-old Russian, and so I have a feeling the Atlanta stuff I all took notes on was more like a cut and paste, or somebody just, you know, took an existing, you know, sort of website that has bios on artists and just change the names or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It sounds like we need to do some digger deeping. Let's hear it. Digger deeping? Deeper digging? Oh,
so
my
it's
God,
that
what's
sound.
Happening?
Those high fake toms or whatever, that's the sound that is Drift Funk to me, that I recognize as Drift Funk. But this artist calls himself Trap Future Bass.
Heavy beats.
Yeah, so you can see there's quite different versions of it and different mixing with other genre, but yet you can still hear that it's drift. You know, does that make sense?
Would you say this kind of exists like within and outside of hip hop in a weird sense?
Absolutely. I mean, it has no connection to hip hop in that, you know, sort of hip hop culture, hip hop history. It's more like hip hop sounds. And beats and that one version of hip hop, the sort of chopped and screwed southern hip hop sort of thing that was going around in the 2010s. But yeah, besides that.
In your expertise, Kirsten, what do you predict the future trends of funk will be?
You know what? I'm hoping they'll be an Aotearoa funk scene.
Yes, there probably is. I'd say there's producers out there doing it, man.
Actually, yeah, it'd be cool if somebody rang up. But it's just funny because the usage of it is specifically, it's sort of still so online and from videos. Mm. I don't know if it's something that, you know, that you're actually playing in cars or that you're playing in clubs or, yeah, so people are using it to make like their own videos and to make their own funk, you know, rather than sort of buying other people's singles. Does that,
yes, does that make sense?
It's a really different space, I think, than other sort of like classical genre that I'll, you know, that I would talk about. But it's definitely, so is it a genre, is it a movement, is it a like a dimension?
It feels like another dimension to me.
Yeah, that's my brain too, is like, because I'm in my reading English and then I read a whole thing on this artist and I think, no, that's wrong, that's not it, that's yeah. been a cut and paste, some sort of cross global mistakes happening.
Yeah. Hey, Kirsten, thank you for a deep dive into the funk genre.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll look forward to catching up with you next week, mate.
Okay. Well, enjoy, and you'll probably hear it around, and you'll recognize it now.
Excellent.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.